Tomorrow is a Thanksgiving Day, and it's in front of us. So my sermon for this evening is based on our gospel reading, and especially about the leper who returned back to Jesus. I want us to focus on that person as we listen to this sermon and thinking about tomorrow, how we are going to spend our day. But let's go ahead and pray for first. Gracious God, you have provided the means by which the message of your Son has come to us. We thank you for the gospel. And we pray that this evening you would keep our ears open to hear it. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we welcome your word as a living word of God and allow it to work within us, so that we trust in your word and look to you as our Redeemer and Lord. We pray this prayer in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title I gave for my sermon is A Life of Thankfulness Has an Observable Witness of Grace-Filled Life. This is an illustration. Once upon a time, there was a king who went hunting game with his friend. As the king shot the arrow, his thumb came off. And his friend said, "Praise God, because he is in control." The king was furious and threw his friend in prison. Sometimes later, the king was hunting when he ventured into a distant land where he had never been before. Suddenly, he was surrounded by cannibals. Cannibals means human beings. They tied him up and were ready to cook him. When they saw the hand was not harm, I mean this. "No perfect, no cookie," said the chief. And they let him go. He went back to his friend and apologized. "You were right. Not having a thumb saved my life." His friend said, "Praise God that I was in prison for so long." "How can you praise God?" the king asked. And his friend replied, "If I hadn't been in prison, I would have been hunting with you. And look, I have two thumbs." Frequently, we fail to recognize how blessed we are when we focus too much on things we miss in life, get too unreasonable and inappropriate expectations rather than on what we already have. For those two men to enjoy the present, they had to experience life from a much different setting. I hope we don't need to go to that extent for ourselves to appreciate whatever we have right now in our life. When we return to today's text, we also learn that gratitude is an essential and readily observable feature of a grace-filled life. From the story of the thankful leper, we notice how grace and gratitude are linked. and making us joyful and praising people. When we experience the grace that frees us from all forms of self-centeredness and bondage that inhibit grateful life, we become thankful people who joyfully praise the Lord. And then the question is, are you a grateful person? I'm sure you would say yes. But this evening, as we are getting ready for the big day of Thanksgiving, I want us to thoroughly reflect on our own life of thankfulness. A reflected life and a feeling of entitlement are dangerous and often leads to ungratefulness. If you also tend to be calculating and overwhelmed with the junks of this world, we are hardly able to be thankful. The difference between this grateful leper and the nine others lies between unreflective life or maybe entitlement. It was only the Samaritan leper who came back and protested himself in the Lord's feet, in recognition of undeserved blessings, as unloved outsider. Because, you know, the Samaritans are disdained or rejected by the Jews like a mixed race. And there was a big animosity between these two nations. You probably wonder why. Why this poor fellow came back and nine others not? Jesus himself asked, where are the other nine? Indeed, the matter was the issue of faith again. That recognized undeserved grace, hence joyfully returning to praise and worship Jesus. The faith of this poor leper portrays a genuine faith that is capable of expressing gratitude as a response to grace-filled experience. The other nine, were unreflective. By the way, they were healed, but they didn't pay attention to what they are experiencing, or they experienced. Or maybe they would be callous, or didn't want to magnify Jesus as their benefactor out of pride. He's a Jew, and they're a Jew, so why? The Samaritan thanksgiving and protestation at Jesus' feet is an indication of his acknowledgement that God is at work when Jesus speaks to the hearts and the brokenness of our spirit. He makes us whole again. A response of such faith is always joyful worship and a life of grace-filled living. This is the only kind of grace-filled life that increases our happiness. Philippians 4, verse 4. By shaping our attitude, improving our witness of Christ. Peter says, and 2 Peter, Paul says, live such good lives among the pagans, that they may see your goodness deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And then it solidifies our relationship. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Let us please God by serving him with thankful heart, it says. We have so many reasons to be thankful. God has blessed us, God has blessed each one of us through Christ, and eventually and continually nourishing us through his word and sacrament. We have this church, we have this fellowship. That's a blessing here. Like those lepers who were made to heal through faith, out of God's plan in Christ, we are all offered free salvation. Changed status from alienation and the possibility to build into a new community of loving, caring, and supportive relationship. Look around. He has enriched our lives in many ways through our fellowship, family, and friends. Even in the midst of some of our own scarcities and suffering, there is a lot to thank for in our life. And there is a lot to thank for in this fellowship. Each moment we experience, for example, is a gift of God. For instance, today is one of that gift we have been given. And the same is true, maybe with this coming new year. There is nothing we have done to deserve it. It's just a gift. The only appropriate response is gratefulness. And the psalmist says, all the day ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 39, verse 16. We live in a divinely ordained moment, which God graciously creates, nurtures, and cares for. That's why we are gathered here. And then the second one is being gratefulness to God by self is also a source and condition in which life could be enjoyed. Paul, in most of his letters, connect the importance of thankfulness and peace and encourage us to make it our daily lifestyle, even in the midst of suffering. You know that Paul, when he wrote all those letters, most of the time he was in prison. He encouraged us to be thankful kind of people because of the grace of God that we've been given in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, we are freed from all kinds of self-righteousness. I mean, attempt or trying to be self-righteous, forgiven, renewed, and adapted to a big family, taking joy in serving each other and our neighbors. That means we are offered an opportunity. The gift of life and the promise we have in Christ is a real source of our peace and gratitude, which enables us to endure all life's problems through the Holy Spirit. And life and death, our comforter, as we confess. And the fact is, we can't avoid suffering. All those events in our life that makes our earthly life hard, they're always there. Because we live in a sinful world, sinful and a decaying world. However, there is always something to be grateful for, on which we should focus. and especially as Christians in our life. If you want to be happy, be a person of gratitude by focusing on what you have in Christ. And by the way, there is also enough scientific evidence that those people practicing gratitude as a lifestyle are emotionally healthy people, experience more good feeling, more relaxed, more resilient, less envious, and have fewer memories. That's a fact. No wonder why God sternly warned the Israelites to always remember the gracious guidance of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we just read. Because ungrateful attitude is sin and leads not only to unhappiness, but also destroy life and its relationship. Hence, let us focus on those blessings in our life as we get together this coming Thanksgiving with family and friends. And enrich each other with gratitude and love so that God may be glorified. That does not mean we should be blind to the tough stuff in our life or the mess we had these past years in our life. But instead, intentionally protect ourselves from losing sight of the good in our life because of Christ's blessings. Enjoy and make the most of the present and the future. As I conclude, I would like to propose to you two questions to ponder about as you celebrate this Thanksgiving. And being also maybe prepared to embrace next year. The first question is, for what are you most thankful this year? List three major ones and thank God for them. I know sometimes when we get together for Thanksgiving, most of the time our attention are taken from by the negative stuff and the other thing we miss in life, and maybe unnecessary stuff, issues. The second question is, what kind of glory do you want to bring to God this coming year? List one or two and pray about it. May God help us to be steadfast in the true faith and fix our heart on what we already have in Christ and continue to lead a grace-filled life that is blessing to our neighbors, to ourselves, to our family, so that God may be glorified. Amen.